Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the City Soccer Showcase.
That's St. Louis City Soccer, baby!
Sponsored by Michelob Ultra, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, and Together Credit Union on 104.1 FM KMOX.
And we come your way from Hot Shots in Arnold. If you want to stop on by, located 141 and Jeffco. My name's Matt Pauly. Jen Cease is here. All of our friends who have shown up to Hot Shots are here. And we're very happy also to welcome on Timo Baumgartel from City SC. We'll talk to him in just a moment. But real quick, so you know what's going on. Folks who want to come on out here to Hot Shots, you got a chance to meet Timo. You can get his autograph. You can take a photo. We've got all kinds of giveaway items and raffle items, some hats, some jerseys. The folks from Together Credit Union are out here. Michelob Ultra is out here. You can get done with your kids after soccer practice. Just come on out here to Hot Shots and Arnold, and we're going to have a lot of fun broadcasting till 8 o'clock. As mentioned, Jen Cease is here. Hi,
hello,
Jen.
Hello. Look at that table of swag. There's Roman Berkey heads in there, too.
That's good.
There's one in my house somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's somewhere. It gets usually the kids use it to hit each other with it, but
that,
you know,
sounds about right. Yeah.
Roman would probably do that.
Probably. His would not surprise me whatsoever. With that, let's welcome in. He is part of City SC. They're coming off a win this past weekend, which was really, really good. It is Timo Baumgartel. Timo, thanks for being out here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What events like this, and even in a year where the team has not put together the kind of win-loss record that everybody would like, it continues to be pretty amazing how fans are continuing to support you guys, not just showing up to games, but also events like these.
First of all, I need to ask where my head is, because I only see Roman's head there.
We got to talk to the Together Credit Union people and see what we can do.
Question.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it was a really good result from us at the weekend. I mean, the season is, for us, a terrible season, actually. We had different goals. We as a team had a lot of injuries, a lot of different difficult situations we were going through. So every away win is right now, or every win is for the fans, is for us to build confidence, to build self-confidence for the next season. Giving back to the fans something, because honestly, they suffer a little bit this year as we play us. So we want to just focus on the last four games, trying to win as many as possible, give the fans something back, and then, recharge, regroup for the next year, and then we want to attack the playoffs.
You know, Timo, you and I got to meet you first in January before the season started. We talked again in April, and one of the things that you mentioned to me, you talked about, because Lutz Mannenstiel was no longer with the club, but he brought you in. He was somebody that looked at you not only for what you can do on the field, but leadership. And you talked about how important to me it was to be a good leader in tough moments, that anybody can be a leader when things are going right. What did you learn about leadership in this season? Because it hasn't been an easy one.
I mean, as you said, it's not an easy one, but I went through so much things in my life on and off the pitch. I think I experienced a lot of things in soccer-wise and life-wise. So for me, putting all that in a perspective is really important. And that's why I'm trying to help this team. I'm trying to help my teammates with all the experience I have and trying to get them through this really difficult season. And yeah, that's part of the leadership. I'm maybe not always the guy who speaks, but I want to show also with my body language and everything that whenever there's a problem, they can come to me, they can speak to me, and that's really important, and I think these guys know that.
They do. I know I've talked to a number of the younger players in particular who consider you very approachable. If I remember correctly, I've been on a couple trips with you. You're usually kind of like the last guy on the plane. You walk slow. You call yourself an old man. I take issue with that because I'm much older than you. But you have you do have a lot of experience, and you said it. You had it off the pitch. And if I remember right, you don't mind sharing this in public. You've battled cancer. That's a big thing to face at a young age and in the height of your career.
I mean, yeah, I'm always the last at the plane because I sit in the last row of the bus, so that was the only empty space. That's why, and the stairs to the plane a lot after training. You're tired, you walk there. I need my time. I'm turning 30 next year, that's why.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but as I said, like, I fought a fight which is so much different than playing soccer games. I think it's really important to put everything in perspective. See what is important in life, also to see what football or soccer is about. It's about winning together, but whenever you're leaving the club, you need to focus on the rest of your life, and that's what I learned through my sickness. I mean, I always said that I was 26 years old, get the diagnosed cancer. I think no one in this age should think about life, about death, about maybe I'm not there in a couple of months. And that's what changed a little bit my personality. Also putting, as I said, some things in perspective. And I'm always telling these guys when they worry about mistakes and everything, there's so much more in life. I always remember when I walked through the hospital, I had my room was the last one on the hallway, and I see all these guys on the right and left side, and I think 70% of them are dead.
Wow.
So I'm telling these stories to these guys to put everything what happened on the pitch in a perspective, and I think that's really important for everyone.
When you're a young guy, obviously an athlete, great shape, and you find out that you have something in your body that is attacking it, how do you internalize that and deal with it from an emotional standpoint?
I mean, I had my family, I had my now wife with me, I had my dog. And they give me some hope, but the first moment is I'm just crying. You cannot believe it because it's, I mean, you're 26 year old, you're a professional athlete. You should not worry about anything in your body. But for me, it was like there was something. So the first 3 or 4 days, I'm just cried all the time, asking myself or asking God, why is me? But since I had the surgery, then something changed in my mind, and I see it as a rehabilitation after an injury. So I went through a 3-cycle of chemotherapy, trying to be fit during this chemotherapy. So I was always running in the morning, 7 a.m. I woke up. All the guys in hospital, they thought I'm stupid, I'm crazy, because I'm walking out. Running there, always 5 kilometers. I had like the goal in 25 to 30 minutes at the end of the circle. I think I was slower than grandma was walking next to me. But at the end, I that was my mindset, and it put me through. And yeah, honestly, this experience, which I experienced, I would not miss it.
You know, I have to bring you back to your younger days of getting started in soccer. Tell us what that story looks like. I mean, you grew up in Germany, Böblingen, if I say
exactly.
It right? Near well Stuttgart. Done. We have a Stuttgart Sister Cities contingent that could probably hear. You heard some German as you walked in. Las los, let's go. tell us about how you started, especially because you had a mother who was really good at a different sport that you could have also done. Maybe you could have been better than Roman Berkey as a goalkeeper if you'd have stuck with handball.
No, actually, she was national player in handball. But I think I started with 5 playing soccer, and they saw talent there. So actually, in the beginning, I was a striker. But I think I missed too much chances, so they put me back because I'm tall and strong. So at the end, I ended up as a center defender. That's my story, actually. I always loved to play with my guys in my hometown, and then I went to Stuttgart, developed, and at the end I was in the Bundesliga. It was a long journey, but I enjoyed it. But I always say to these guys, I never want to be 18 again.
You even beat Roman Berkey's team once. Remember that? You remember?
Yeah, you talked about it, right?
I'm always telling
2-1 on a Friday night.
I'm always telling him.
We are broadcasting live at Hot Shots in Arnold, 141 in Jeffco. You're hearing the voice of Timo Baumgartel from City SE. He's going to be with us for another segment, and then he's going to sit down and sign autographs and take photos. We've got a bunch of other stuff that we're giving away as well. So we'd love to see you out here at Hot Shots. Maybe you're picking up your kids from soccer practice or something else. Don't worry about making dinner.
No
at home.
Dinner. Just, come just, eat food
just,
here.
Yeah, just yes. Come on over to Hot Shots, and we would love to see you. We'll take a break. More with Timo in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Soccer Showcase, sponsored by Michelob Ultra, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, and Together Credit Union on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are at the Hot Shots in Arnold, located at 141 and Jeffco, alongside of Gen C. I'm Matt Pauly. Timo Baumgartel from City SC is here. We're going to talk to him for another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll let him loose. There's lots of folks that are waiting to be able to meet him and get his autograph. And if you want to get that, just stop on by while you're here. You can have yourself a Michelob Ultra. You can get your name in the raffle for all the cool stuff that we're going to be giving away throughout the course of the evening. Timo, you talked earlier about leadership, and you go back to your time in Germany, you had some issues at times where you were outspoken about coaches. It resulted in you missing some time with those teams.
I told you he was going to come out from left field with a few questions.
As you have evolved, what have you learned about leadership, when you should be outspoken, when you shouldn't be outspoken, just all of that? Am I putting you on the spot too much there?
No.
Okay.
No. I talked a lot about that. There are different opinions in soccer. There are different opinions in life. I'm always a guy who speak face-to-face about that. I think that's important. That's part of my career. Sometimes I'm too honest. Sometimes I'm talk too much, trying to help someone. But at the end, when something like that happened, the consequences, I take them. We spoke afterwards. I'm also always... when we separate with a club or some guys, I'm always speak with them afterwards, like that when we meet again, we can shake hands, we can laugh together. That's important for me. That's a decision I made in my life always. It's about when you meet again that you can look them in the eyes and say hello. That's important. But in this moment, maybe I was not experienced enough to put my words in a perspective or put my words in a way to them that they understand what I mean. It's life. I think everyone had a discussion with their boss. So it's. I think we all have that. Yeah. Sometimes it's smart, sometimes not. And maybe it was not smart at this time.
You know, I think, too, though, if you think about media and you think about the fact that we come and cover you a lot, and sometimes we'll talk to different people and we get the same answers over and over, it's a fresh perspective sometimes to get some honesty from either a player or David Critchley. Is I really enjoy hearing from Critch because I feel like he's always speaking from the heart. He's speaking very directly with what he can say. It is that balance between trying to be very honest and authentic with also maybe not crossing a line, but I know fans, I think if fans had to choose, they would pick authenticity over and over again.
I mean, we have all this discussion in Germany because, like, the media and the clubs I played is way bigger than here, I must say, honestly. Because, like, soccer is their religion.
It's
everything in this country. So every word they put on, they put every word on a scale and say if it's good or not. I mean, I think all the fans like emotion, they want emotion, and we always discuss about players who speak always the same after game, like what they trained maybe to say. It's always fresh and nice if there's players who speak out of their heart, of their mind, sometimes emotional, but we need to accept that, and if we wanna have not these boring interviews after games, we should accept that. And also taking apologize afterwards for words,
sure.
Maybe that they were there. So that's for me important. But I know how this social media, this world in soccer develops. where it's going to be. Because when I started, there was no social media at all, so we could say what we want, but now it's different. But that's part of the game, and I think the fans would enjoy if we have more emotions and kind of interviews afterwards.
I had read that you had basically predicted that you would come play in America at some point, and that was something that you strongly desired to do. When the game is such an international sport, there's so many different countries you can play it in. You just talked about how big it is in other countries. What was it about specifically getting to the United States that really was something that you desired?
I mean, I always love the American sports, whether it is NBA, NFL, baseball. I love them all. So I just want to have that feeling going to games, seeing that, like, emotions the fans have in real life. That's what I always wanted to do. I mean, for me, in the future, it's always good to learn the language better, speaking all the time, being around with English guys. And I always told my girlfriend, now my wife, I want to be one time in America. And now I'm St. Louis. I don't know why I'm St. Louis, but I think there's a German culture here.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be. Lutz offered me this job, and I said, yes, I want to be here. With all the guys I played in the under-21 national team, so that's actually a nice fact. And now I'm here.
Yeah, so you say you want to be in St. Louis. So when I talked to you back in April, it was starting to warm up a little bit. I think you guys came off of playing maybe Columbus, and you told me at the end of April that it was too hot. And I said, oh, no. Timo, oh, no, 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 no. Now how do you feel about it? Are you okay?
No, me and my dog, I'm always inside, like, dying because of this heat. I mean, when does it stop, actually?
Well, we don't know.
We had, 2 weeks ago, we had an awesome, like, week. I mean, it was in Celsius because we are in 25 Celsius. I don't know. What is it? 80, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Like
80, around yeah. 80. That's awesome. But now we're like 95 on trophy, and I'm like, oh, no. When does this summer stop?
Well, it kind of peaks and valleys, right? There's a joke, it's probably in the Midwest in general, not just St. Louis, about how there's kind of a fake fall. You probably experienced fake fall. So it's probably, you got probably a couple more weeks, maybe.
Oh, really?
But October is going to be great.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yes, and you're going to love it.
And then it'll get cold.
Yeah, they...
really fast.
Yeah.
They also said to me there's no snow, actually, and there's not a lot of rain in spring. That's what they said to me.
Not so much snow, but...
It kind of depends.
Yeah.
The first week I was here, everything was closed because we had, like, 4 centimeters of snow, and, like, every restaurant was closed. I was in the hotel alone. Facility was closed. I couldn't order anything. I walked to downtown. There was one shop open, a nacho shop. That's what my first week looked.
That's a great way to come into a new city, isn't it?
And then it gets so hot that you can't go outside either.
I mean, we love it here, actually. Yeah. We like it a lot. We like Kirkwood. We live in Kirkwood. We like it. I like the facility. I like the fans. I like the club and all the people around here. So for me, it's a nice station to be, a nice city to be. It's not the biggest city, but I like all the things we can do. And especially for my dog, it's nice to go to forest, different forests here, different rivers. We have water around. That's actually nice. So I would say it's a right decision to be here.
Last thing for me, we've mentioned a lot that Lutz brought you here, and this year he was let go. Olaf was they moved on from. How challenging is it that people who brought you here, people that you came to play for, they're gone. You're still here. That's got to be a really challenging thing to go through, is it not?
No, actually not, because I decided for the club, not for Lutz. So obviously he's a German. And he spoke with me, but I also spoke to Diego, I spoke to Carolyn, I spoke to Hackworth. So I spoke to everyone. So I not decided to come to Lutz, I decided to go and play for St. Louis City, and that was my decision. It's, of course, it's sad when a coach is fired, Olaf got fired, when Lutz is away, because it's always feel like a personal defeat for every player if there's a decision because of us, because we didn't deliver that what we expected to deliver on the pitch. So it's always feel like a lose for everyone. But that's part of soccer. I mean, I had 16 coaches, I think, or 17 in my whole career.
Huh. Wow.
So I knew how it works, this business. And I think these guys also know it. But yeah, I could say I decided for St. Louis and not for Lutz.
Well, speaking, last question for me then too is I wouldn't ask you to speak on your contract negotiations, but if after these games are done and if all is said and done and there's a place here for you, would you stay? Would you take us even though it gets really cold and you can't go outside and it gets really hot and you can't go outside?
I mean, I still have a contract for next year.
All right. I mean, and then maybe more, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can see that. I like it, yeah. I mean, I get used to the heat. I'm white and I put sunscreen on and then it's okay for me. I need a break in the afternoon and then I can go out again. No, honestly, I like the city. As I said, I like the club. I like the fans. I like the passion this city has for St. Louis City. And the only thing that would be better if we have an NFL or NBA team, okay. As I said. But
I'll
maybe they
that.
Hear me now.
Yeah,
Matt's got a whole show where he can talk about that too.
Well, Timo, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming out. You're going to stick around here and talk with folks. So for people listening, if you want to meet Timo, you could just come on out to Hot Shots and Arnold, 141 in Jeffco. And he's going to be here for a while signing autographs and taking photos. But thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, thank you.
That is Timo Baumgartel. We will take a break, and we'll continue to talk all things City SC through the course of this hour live from Hot Shots in Arnold. We're back in a moment on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it is our soccer showcase, all part of a KMLX Graybar Sports Open Line. We are at Hot Shots in Arnold. Thanks so much to Timo Baumgartel, who joined us for the last half hour or so. He is currently signing autographs, taking photos, and if you want to come out here to Hot Shots, you can do so. You can meet him. We're going to be out here till 8 o'clock this evening. Also, the folks at Together Credit Union, they've got tons of giveaway items that they have brought out. We've got other raffle items that we are going to be raffling off later on, like signed hats and jerseys and all kinds of things. So basically, if you can find your way to Arnold, 141 and Jeffco, we would encourage you to make your way out to Hot Shots. We'd love to say hello. And again, like we said earlier, bring the family. Kids, yeah. Again, done with soccer practice. Just head straight to
Order
Arnold.
Order dinner.
Yeah.
Don't clean dishes. Have maybe a beverage.
All will be good. We're going to welcome on right now a guy that you hear as part of the City broadcast. He does a lot of other things. Part of City SC. He is our friend Dale Schilly. Dale, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
It's my pleasure.
Dale, how important is it that City, in what's been a really tough year, not just got a win, but got a clean sheet? I mean, that was just it felt like this team and this organization desperately needed a night like they got on Saturday night against CF Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, we had been pointing to the three games, Houston, Dallas, and Montreal, as three games that, when we're healthy, that we should get results against. And, you know, we stubbed our toe against Houston. We came on late, but, you know, found ourselves down 3-0 earlier in the game. And then Dallas would go man up, but we couldn't find the second goal after giving one up. And then Montreal, we played well. So it was really important that we got that result, because we we needed to see where we were with a healthy lineup and with the majority of our players on the field. So important game, and the guys played really well, and some key performances from a couple guys like Klaus and Hartle, and you know, Berkey making a couple of big saves when he needed it.
Yeah, how about that Klaus back heel? That was just awesome. I talked a little bit with Conrad Wallen this week, Dale, and also David Critchley on Tuesday, and both talked about, I asked them about how it wasn't like there weren't dangerous moments in the Montreal game. There certainly were, but the management of those moments seemed so much better, and both called out the fact that it really had to do with individuals taking ownership of those moments versus maybe an overall team effort. Did you see that in your analysis as well?
Yeah. So I thought that, we just needed to clog the center part of the field and not give them the opportunity to slice through us. So I thought defensively, with our sixes, I thought were good. The two center backs, I saw Falu Paul have an issue or two in some individual defending moments, but for the most part, they didn't get around us or didn't get through us centrally. And if you push teams a little bit wide and give them an angle that they have to shoot at, if they've got pressure against them, it's pretty tough to beat Roman. So, I thought just overall, whether it was individual or small group, meaning one player and his partner, I thought defensively were very solid.
From a really big picture perspective, Dale, they win, they put a good effort on the field this past weekend. Let's hypothetically say this continues on through the rest of the regular season, and there is some momentum going into the offseason and next year. What does the organization need to do in terms of hiring a sporting director, hiring a coach, where so much stuff doesn't change that it almost mitigates out the positive momentum that you take out of this season?
Yeah, look, I think you still have to look at the big picture, and you got to take the sample size that we have over the last 2 years and maybe more for some of the guys, 1 year for a few of them. I think you really have to look at it from a big picture perspective and make decisions about what you're going to, how you're going to handle the players and the roster and the program next year. I don't think that you can rely on the last 3 or 4 games of the year, because you don't know what the competition's like. You don't know where the other teams are in the table. I think you can't put the blinders on just because you had a couple of good results at the end. You need to take an honest approach at looking at the players and where do they fit. And, you know, we've spoke about the roster, and we've spoke about, do the players actually fit together, and how do they fit together, and do they make a good team? Is the whole greater than the sum of the parts sort of thing? And I think that's the perspective that you have to look at it with, is, you know, what kind of money are guys on? What do they bring to the table? How do they mix with the guys that you'll also have in the roster? How does it fit the style of play of the organization? And make decisions based on their performance over the long haul, not over these last handful of games.
You know, Dale, that just brings me to a story you told during one of the games for City, and we were in halftime and talked a little bit about the success of Nashville. Nashville is now fourth in the Eastern Conference. They're having a great year, and you talked about how they brought in BJ Callahan as their head coach and really let him kind of structure things the way they wanted. Can you just tell listeners about how that worked and how maybe something like that could work for City if that's the route they choose to go?
Well, I mean, I think one, it's, you know, I guess if Critch stays on, if they keep Critch on, then you've got a guy that's been with the program through the summer and into the winter, and and then he's going to be a focal point in terms of who do we keep on, who do we not. You look at Greg Berhalter up in Chicago; he didn't join in until much later, I think after the season. You look at, his name's escaping me, I want to say Nilsson, but I'm not sure, the head coach up at up in Vancouver, he started a week before the season started. So there's a lot of ways to go about it, and there's not necessarily one way, but somebody has to be responsible for making decisions on personnel and players, and getting the team organized for the next year. But I would say the B.J. Callahan story and the Greg Berhalter story would be the most likely situations where guys have been around, they're watching players, they know what they're about, they work with the staff, and then from there they have to make the hard decision. And look, these are hard decisions. These guys are good players. You're trying to put together the best team. So it's tough, but that's just part of what you're doing and what you committed for.
I'm not trying to put you in a bad spot because I know you're a match analyst, but then you also have a role in the organization. So say what you can say and don't say what you can't say. But are there conversations and meetings and things like that that are already taking place right now that are getting into the planning stages for the off season and looking at people to potentially interview and just going through that? Or is it more about just getting through the end of the season and picking that up there?
You know, I would say, and I don't know that, but I'm not part of those meetings. If they're having them, not around it, haven't been asked to be in them. I would say, though, that knowing how long it took to find the Olaf situation or solve the initial coaching situation last year, I would think that there's conversations and planning and thoughts on all three fronts, the roster, the head coach, and the sporting director, I would think. Certainly the sporting director and the roster are things that have to get done sooner than later. So, I don't know that. I'm not in any of those meetings, haven't been asked to, but I would imagine knowing the time frame for some of these things, especially if you're bringing somebody in from overseas, there's some work to be done well ahead of the end of the season. You couldn't wait that long.
Well, Matt just mentioned the fact that you're not only the analyst, but you're on staff with St. Louis City, and you got a lot of jobs. You work for the academy that's doing really – you're head of the academy that's doing really, really well. Assistant coach for City 2 that's head of the MLS Next Pro standings. Talk a little bit about how all of the first team has gone through struggles. We certainly have some bright points with our second team and the academy development team with that you head up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean – you know, just looking at the City 2 team having a really good run of games and that, you know, an undefeated run that stretches back to middle of May when Critch and Baggio were working with the group. So it's been, from that perspective, just from a wins-losses perspective for City 2, it's been an amazing year. I think it's 12 wins, 3 draw wins, and 1 draw loss. Is the run that they're on. Just moving guys up, and you've seen it. You've seen McSorley, you've seen Mackay, you've seen Seth, you've seen Hazi, all now on first team contracts. And, you know, what more could you ask for a second team for City 2 than to have a winning record, be at the top of the table, be a good place for first team guys that drop down, i.e. Leuven, Kessler, Durkin, Vollum, to name 4 guys off the top of my head, Baumgartel, those guys all drop down to get minutes to help prepare them to get Kyle Hebert to move back up into the first team. And then, you know, we've had 24 academy kids come up and be in the training environment. I think there's 12 of them that have been rostered, got playing time, been in the game environment, and, you know, made their debuts, which is a really important part of the process. So an incredible season for the developmental piece of the St. Louis City arm, and City 2 is a big part of that because it'll link between the academy and the first team.
Dale Schilly is the match analyst for City Games on Y98. Dale, we always appreciate your time. We know you're very busy, so thank you for it, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
Thank you.
That's Dale Schilly joining us here on the program. We appreciate him. Again, we are at Hot Shots in Arnold. 141 in Jeffco is the intersection, and you can come on in here. Timo Baumgartel continues to hang out. You've got a chance to get your photo, get an autograph. We're going to be giving away all kinds of other items as we go along through the evening, so we'd love to see you out here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. It is our City Soccer Showcase. More in a moment here on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Soccer Showcase, sponsored by Michelob Ultra, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, and Together Credit Union on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are continuing to broadcast live at Hot Shots in Arnold. 141 and Jeffco is where you find us. Timo Baumgartel is going to be hanging out throughout the for a while longer. So if you're out and about in the area, stop on by, grab yourself a Michelob Ultra, get registered for our raffles, take a look at all the cool stuff that the folks from Together Credit Union have for you to take home. So just a lot going on here at Hot Shots, and I would love to see you out here alongside Jen Cease. I'm Matt Pauly. Jen, just kind of putting a wrap on what we saw last week and from City. We know the season has not gone the way they would like it to go, but I do think there is value in putting together efforts that are, especially leading up to that, it was a bunch of one-goal losses and a tie that they had no business tying on, a tie that felt like a loss. At some point, you're just getting beat down on a weekly basis. You need something good, and they got something
good. They finally got something good. And also, you would go to training. I go to training at least once a week, and you wouldn't know. Critchley's not wrong when he says you would not know the team is where they are on the table based on the effort that they give at practice. You would think that they are you know, vying for one of the top three spots, but it gives a lot for resilience, and hopefully City uses this to build for a good foundation for 2020.
Yeah, I that's the thing that most interests me now. That's why I asked the question that I did to Dale, because if they do, like, have a ton of momentum going into the offseason, but then they bring in a sporting director who wants to do things completely different, and they bring in a coach who's going to implement that very different. It almost feels like you've lost it, but bluntly, that happened last year. They had a ton of momentum going in, and then they brought in Olaf, and Olaf did not exactly do what I think people thought he was going to do, and it felt like they were never able to grab onto that momentum from the previous year.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, City did better, right, not leaking goals the way they did, but then couldn't put together those. You have to score goals to win. You absolutely have to do that. So we just didn't have the pendulum swung way too far one way. Hopefully City is able to, I think, define what do we want to really see on the field. Do we have a sporting director that brings in the players that will do that? Do we have the coach that will implement that style, and we have those players? Then we might have a successful season.
And it's such a short off season. That's also why I asked the question.
These guys hardly have any time off.
But that's why I asked the question about Dale, about meetings and things like that going on, because if they want everything in place and that they've got decisions on players, it's going to be really interesting to see how this ends up playing out, because, you know, if Hack and Diego are making decisions that don't really follow along with what the next sporting director would want you to do, well, then all of a sudden you've basically lost an off season because of it.
Yeah, for me, I don't know what everybody's opinion on this. I'm a fan of David Critchley. He's been here when it was rough. I would love to see some continuity that. I think he's capable. He's implementing a style we like to see. It's a little good balance of what you have with Bradley Carnell and Olaf Melberg. It's somewhere in the middle. If you can bring in a sporting director that supports that and brings in the players who can play to that level, I think you could see something really special.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it plays out that way. Thank you so much for being here. We'll do this again next week in Fenton.
Next week, different Hot Shots.
Yeah. We had Hot Shots in Fenton. So, all right. So that is the kind of the soccer portion of the show. But don't go anywhere. We're gonna shift kind of to this more standard sports open line. We're gonna do that during the 7 o'clock hour. Jacob Sarsasimo from Channel 4 is going to join us. We'll talk with the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart. So we got a lot of things to get to. Some Cardinals talk as well. That's all coming up live at Hot Shots in Arnold. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are underway with hour number two of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast live at Hot Shots in Arnold. We did our soccer showcase hour last hour featuring a conversation with Timo Baumgartel. He is still here. He'll be here through the end of this hour. He is talking with folks, signing autographs, taking pictures. So if you are looking for a place to be, we'd love to see you. Hot Shots in Arnold, 141 and Jeffco. That is the intersection, and very easy to get to. Again, we'll be here till 8 o'clock tonight, so bring the family out. Maybe you're just piling into the car after soccer practice let out and you're looking for somewhere to go for a little bit. Stop on by, and we would love to see you here. We also have more giveaways. We just gave away a signed hat from, I believe it was Cedric Toyshirt signed hat. We've got some other things, some more hats, some jerseys, things like that, that we'll be raffling off up until 8 o'clock. So the sooner you get here, the better opportunity you have of winning a pretty cool prize. But no matter what, you can get an opportunity to meet Timo Baumgartel as long as you're here before 8 o'clock this evening. This hour, we've got a couple guests that are going to be on. Jacob Sersosimo, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Channel 4's sports reporter and anchor. We'll talk all things St. Louis sports with him. And also later on this hour, we'll talk with Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play broadcaster for Fighting Illini football. Illinois has got a big one this weekend. Illinois looks really, really good. So looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a while. If you were with us during Redbird Rush Hour, I thought it was a fun conversation that Kevin and I had. The conversation was it was largely based around what players exceeded expectations or not this season. And I think that conversation rolls right into how does that impact the team for next year. And we also talked about Kyle Leahy and whether or not he should be a starter next year. We're at the point now, with all due respect to everything that can happen over the next week plus, we're at the point now where there's not a whole lot to learn. I guess the only thing that I'm interested to see is just continuing to watch Thomas Tsegiasi play at shortstop and be an everyday shortstop. But it's fun to see. It's good to see you get an idea about who he is as an everyday player. But he's not going to be the everyday shortstop for the Cardinals moving forward. That's going to be Mason Wynn. But he's the one guy who's on the roster who's playing every day right now, who we haven't seen play every day. So maybe there's some value in these final, nine games that are left in the season and that. But basically, you know, there's not a lot for this year. But when it comes to next year, so I was when we were doing this, we were talking about the starting rotation for next year. And my belief, my contention when we were talking about Kyle Leahy is he should go into spring training competing for a job in the rotation but not be guaranteed of a job in the rotation. And if he doesn't win a job, you can put him back into the bullpen and you're okay. But if he has a really good spring, he's part of a group that's going to be competing. And I've noticed this from a lot of Cardinals fans. There's a lot of talk about Miles Michaelis recently. And there seems to be two things that I am seeing, and I kind of disagree with both of them. So there's one group of fans out there that really believes that there is a possibility that Miles Michaelis is going to be back with the Cardinals next year, that the team is going to re-sign him to a deal. I just don't see that happening. Is it an impossibility? No. Like could that happen? Like there is a way that, but will it happen? I don't think so. I just don't. And I also think it's important that it doesn't happen because there are so many fans right now that are frustrated with the state of the team and some of the decisions that have been made around the team. And in many ways, fair or unfair, Miles Michaelis has largely become the poster child for many of those decisions. Now, I want to be fair when I'm talking about Michaelis. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's had a good season. He hasn't. But I'm also not going to tell you that he's been terrible all year long. There have been points of the year where he has really not been good, but he's on an okay run right now. He was on an okay run earlier this year. I would think that there's going to maybe be an opportunity for him to go sign with a team elsewhere. I don't see the scenario playing out where he is back with the Cardinals next year. I think they want to, when you look at Heim Bloom and his track record when it comes to pitching, Michaelis does not fit the description of pitchers that he normally goes out and acquires. So that's the first Miles Michaelis thing that I kind of disagree with. But then the second thing that I disagree with is there's a lot of people out there understanding that Michaelis is not going to be back next year that seem really worried about who's going to fill his spot in the rotation. And even with Michaelis not being terrible this year, he's got a 4.80 ERA. Like, that's not great, but it's not – It's actually maybe even a little bit better than what you thought it was going to be coming in. I mean, he's somebody who pitched to a 5.35 ERA last year, had a plus five ERA over the court, you know, combined over the last 2 years. So he has done his job the way that I guess he's supposed to do it. If you look at him sort of as a fifth starter and nothing more, but the idea to be worried about filling his spot in the rotation, I don't think that's something to be worried about either, because there are going to be options. Kyle Leahy's going to be part of that group. You would have to think that Quinn Matthews is going to have an opportunity to win a job out of spring training. I don't think it's going to be out of spring training, but I think Liam Doyle could factor into the mix at some point in 2026, depending on how his minor league season goes next year. You would assume that he'll probably start next year at Double-A. He's pitching a little bit of Double-A this year, being part of the Springfield Cardinals playoff run here. He'll go to big league spring training next year, eventually get to Double-A. You would think if he has some early success at Double-A, they'll get him to Triple-A as quickly as they can. And then if there's an opportunity, he gets to the big leagues. Now, we thought Quinn Matthews was going to get to the big leagues this year, and that didn't happen for him. So it's not a guarantee. It's just about, is there a pathway? And I think there's going to be a pathway for Liam Doyle. There's clearly going to be a pathway for Quinn Matthews to get into that spot as well. I would think there's a chance that the Cardinals do bring in somebody for the rotation, whether it's a guaranteed job or whether it's somebody who's just going to compete for a job. But there's... When we're talking about somebody like Miles Michaelis, who a replacement-level player is essentially going to give you the same production, I don't think there's any worry about replacing Michaelis. And I don't think there's any worry about, if the Cardinals go about this the right way, having enough people to cover the rotation next year. Now, the Cardinals better be ready for injuries next year, because the fact that they have basically had no pitching injuries this season outside of a bit of a hiccup for John King is remarkable. That does not happen in baseball. And just the way things work out, you go through a year like this where you have so few pitching injuries, they better be prepared. So if this is something where they walk into spring training and you already have a pretty good idea of the guys who are going to be in the rotation and there's not much competition on the back end, That's probably not a good spot to be in. And that's why the Kyle Leahys are important. That's why not guaranteeing anything for Andre Pallante, but allowing him to compete, all those things, that's why they are all important when it comes to looking ahead to next year. That is Building the Future, which is brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis and a great place to work. This is a special Strike Zone Hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Very special because we are broadcasting live at Hot Shots in Arnold, 141 in Jeffco. Would love for you to stop on by. Timo Baumgartel is continuing to hang out from City SC. You can get your photo with him. You can get him to sign something. We've got a few more giveaways that we're going to do between now and 8 o'clock as well. So we will take a break. And when we we come back, Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 is going to join us as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to broadcast live today from Hot Shots in Arnold. It is part of our soccer showcase as Timo Baumgartel is still here. So if you are in the area, he'll be here till 8 o'clock signing autographs, taking photos. You can get a bunch of free stuff. The folks from Together Credit Union are out here giving stuff away. I picked up one of the soccer stress balls, which is good. We've got other raffle items that we're going to be giving away throughout the course of the evening as well. Michelob Ultra is here. You can get yourself a Mick Ultra as you have dinner tonight and meet Timo Baumgartel. So we would love to see you here at Hot Shots in Arnold. We're very happy to be able to welcome back onto the program. He is a good friend, a frequent guest here on Sports Open Line. He is a Channel 4 sports reporter and anchor, Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Matt? Always good to be on.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I believe you were out at the first day of Blues training camp today. What struck you? What did you really notice from day one of training camp for the Blues?
Well, this is really the first time that the Blues are getting Jim Montgomery in this situation, because if you remember last year, he came in late November last year after they hired him, after he got fired in Boston. And this is the first time he's really had a chance to sit back, get some, you know, get his full system in and go. And I think that was evident today. Monty doing what Monty does, which is get out there and start chirping and yelling guys and making sure everyone's in the same place and really honing in on things that he wants to do. And I think that is an important thing. It's also important to note that this isn't the first time these guys are getting on the ice together. These guys have been on the ice together. I think Braden Schenn said today, 3 weeks. A lot of these guys, maybe not the whole group at a time, but a lot of these guys have been in St. Louis and been on the ice at Centene for about a couple weeks now and getting to work. Now, it's much different when coaches get out there because you can teach and learn and there's a lot more guys on the ice. But I think what stuck out to me was Monty said it in his post-practice press conference that we did. The returners looked a lot more crisp out there, and they looked like the pace was good, and a lot of returners felt comfortable under what Monty was trying to get across, and I think that's what you saw out there today. The new guys, especially Logan Mayhew, who came over in that trade with Montreal for Zach Bolduc, a lot of guys raving about not only his shot and a big right-handed shot from the blue line, but also his stick presence on the blue line and what he can do as a defenseman and another big body back there. So I think there's a lot to take from today. Dylan Holloway looked really good after his injury last year. So Monty getting back into it, the new guys, Mayhew was impressive, and also getting Dylan Holloway back, he says he's 100%. So a lot of good signs for the Blues on day one.
Do we know how long Holloway's been basically 100%?
So he mentioned he had surgery. We asked him today. He said he had surgery after he tore his oblique off his hip bone last year. And it says a couple weeks was, pretty painful. And then he said he's been 100% throughout this summer. It doesn't seem like a thing where he just got back to 100% a couple weeks ago. This seems like something where his recovery was pretty quick and he's been back to 100%. Throughout the summer. He mentioned, I've been 100% skating through this, in this summer. So I don't think this is a new thing of him being back 100%. And Monty was very pleased with how Holloway looked out there. He said he looks like he's got an extra step out there and he's ready to go. And really, it doesn't look like anything's been wrong if you watch him skate.
It's really remarkable how quickly they ramp up. You think about baseball, 6-7 weeks of spring training, football, preseason games. In hockey, they're going to play their first preseason game on Saturday, 2 or 3 days. Their regular season opener is in 3 weeks. This really has to come together pretty fast.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to what I spoke about in that first question you asked, which is they have to be here and skate early. None of these guys are really showing up last night and getting ready for tomorrow. Their preseason, their training camp really started early September, late August. They all get back into town and they do captain skates. And I think that's kind of an unwritten rule thing that you do. Is it's not, I don't know the rules exactly, but I'm not sure it can be mandatory at that point. per league rules and stuff like that. But these guys have all been in town for a while, and they've been skating with each other. Yes, it comes together fast, but the benefit of having Monty last year, having those meetings at the end of the year, knowing what Monty expects as the head coach of the Blues, and then coming into this year, is these guys, yeah, they've been skating together without coaches, but they know exactly what Jim Montgomery expects going into the preseason and into the preseason. And when they show up today and they show up tomorrow and get ready for that game on Saturday, they're just fine-tuning things and getting ready. They've already been getting into shape together for a while now. This isn't just something that jumps together. But on paper, you're right. It does come together fast. But when you're looking at what Monty does, a lot of it depends on guys knowing what he wants to do and guys understanding the system and putting it to work before today even comes.
Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest are a big part of Mizzou football coverage with the show that you guys do post-game. And it's been such a great start for them. They're in the top 25. They played the one challenging game against Kansas and won it. The two games that they should win by a bunch were very one-sided. And now all of a sudden, just like that, they're going to play a really good South Carolina team on Saturday. And I think a lot of people are excited for this one. You know, the Kansas game is... it's not so much a litmus test because that's a rivalry game, so you know both teams are going to go out and give their best. This seems like the first game that maybe we're going to really start to know just how good Missouri's going to be this year. Would you agree or disagree kind of with that assessment?
I agree with that, and I don't really think this is a slant at Kansas or anything that they do. Yeah, it's a rivalry game, but at that point, neither of those teams were ranked and no one was in there. You look at the South Carolina team, and as far as reports coming out of South Carolina, it seems like Lenora Sellers is leaning towards being a go this week and then not being a go when you look at, you know, he's questionable on the report last night. But Lenora Sellers is, you know, a fantastic quarterback. And when you're looking, I think you look more at the trenches, at the line, what Mizzou has to face when they go up against another SEC team. These SEC teams, and I've been fortunate enough with this Mizzou live show that we do to go to a lot of these games over the last couple of years and travel to a lot of these games, going to South Carolina last year. And you sit on the sideline and you watch what the trenches do and how big those guys are and how much that really matters. And I think that is the biggest test that you're going to look at come this weekend. You look at what Ahmad Hardy's been able to do, and Bo Perbula has been really impressive there in the backfield. However, is their offensive line going to be able to hold down the defensive line of South Carolina and vice versa? The defensive line of Mizzou is fantastic. Can they get to Sellers? Can they get to whoever else they might put at quarterback because of, you know, this injury question that they have? But you're right. This is, I think, their biggest test of the year right now, and it's going to be a huge milestone for them as they get into SEC play because they get their first taste of the SEC with South Carolina, and that goes for Ahmad Hardy. That goes for Bo Perbula. Yeah, he played at Penn State, but now you're going to consistently play SEC schools. And in that SEC schedule, you have South Carolina, you have Alabama, you have A&M. So I think this is going to be a really good first test for them. And I think, to be honest, we're going to learn a ton about this team come Saturday night.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. One of our themes for the day when it comes to Cardinals, and it started with Kevin Wheeler and I were doing the 5 o'clock hour, talking a lot about who exceeded expectations this year for the Cardinals and what was deemed a runway season. So you would hope that some players being given a runway indeed would you know, exceed expectations. So for you, I know the season's not over yet, but we're at a point now where we can start doing a little bit of reflection. As you reflect upon this year, who do you think, and you can mention multiple guys, one guy, however you want to take this, what stands out at you as maybe the individuals who got the most out of it being that runway year and were really able to do more than what we expected them to do this year?
I think one of the answers I kind of go to right away is the soundbite I just ran on Channel 4, which was how impressed Ollie Marmol's been on Alec Burleson. Now, the only way I don't want to say Burleson is because I feel like going into this year, he had such a good year last year, and I think you knew what he was capable of. And so it wasn't necessarily a surprise that Burleson was able to hit the ball really well and make contact and be able to be good in a big league season that he was this year. I think what's really impressed me most is what they've done at the catcher position. And I mean, you look at him when Yachty comes in, they have 4 catchers on staff. Yeah, Wilson doesn't catch anymore, but he's a catcher on staff. They're an MLB team with, you know, 4 potential catchers on staff and 3 that can. and what Pedro Pajes has done when it comes to call games. And I think when people watch Yachty, they knew how well he could call games and how good he was back there on the defensive side of things. And I think Pedro coming in this year, getting a taste of kind of what it was last year, but moving into the year, a lot of people looking at Ivan Herrera and for a good reason. And then Herrera's bat seems, you know, is really good this year, and they put him in that DH spot a little bit more consistently. And then you have a guy like Pedro Pajes that could be the consistent guy behind the plate all year. And when you look at catchers, it's such a difficult position because not only do you have to focus on batting like everybody else does, but you have to have an individual relationship with every pitcher and know exactly what they want to do. And I think Pedro did a really good job of that this year, and them just kind of letting him be back there and, you know, as close as they can to be his everyday, the everyday catcher of the Cardinals. And when I look at guys that have really come into their own, especially in the big league, I look at Pedro Pajes. I know some of the offensive side was there or not there at times, but when you look at the defensive things and what he could do with pitchers and that Sonny Gray game that they had where, you know, Gray pitched the full nine innings and he credited Pedro a lot, I think it was really impressive on what he was able to do with this runway that he was given.
He is Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest. We mentioned it, but can you give a plug for the Mizzou show? Because I'm not sure if everybody realizes you guys are still doing that this year, and it's a way certainly for Mizzou fans to augment their Mizzou coverage every Saturday.
Yeah, 1,000%. And it's at a steady time this year. Every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, every Saturday at 10 o'clock, we are on Matrix Midwest. And that is streamed as well on matrixmidwest.com in the app. But it's a host, one of us here on the Sports on 4 team, Tamar Scher, Gracie Barra, and myself, Jacob Sersosimo. And it's Justin Gage, the Hall of Famer of Mizzou. And he breaks down the game. His knowledge is so high of football. He played in the NFL for a while. He was an incredible athlete at Mizzou during his time, and he knows these rivalries. He knows what it takes to be successful at the college level. So we talk to him in a one-hour pregame show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and then the postgame show is more of a full recap of what Mizzou did on Saturday, and that airs every morning on Matrix, every Sunday morning on Matrix Midwest at 9:30. We break down the game, hear from Drinkwitz. We get a walk-off interview with one of the players, and so we think it's a great product, and if you're a Mizzou fan, a college football fan in the area, it's really something where we can give you so much information on this one game. A lot of people might be able to give you more information on all of college football, but if you're a Mizzou fan, I don't think there's a better place to get your information on what to expect that day and get you ready than chat with a Hall of Famer and Justin Gage all morning.
Jacob, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming back on, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Very good. That's Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest joining us here on the program. We're going to keep talking a little bit of college football. Brian Barnhart, he is the play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini. He's going to join us in just a moment as we roll on. Again, we are broadcasting live today at Hot Shots and Arnold. Team of Baumgartels here for another 25 minutes or so. We've still got another giveaway to do, so I would love for you to stop on by. We've got more coming up right here on KMOX. It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast live from Hot Shots in Arnold. Love for you to stop on by. We'll be here for another 20 minutes or so. Timo Baumgartel from City SC is here. He can sign autographs, take photos. You can get yourself a Michelob Ultra, have yourself a meal. We've got some other giveaways to give away, so we'd love to see you before we get out of here. Illinois football, it has been a fantastic start to the season. They are a top 10 club. They are 3-0. They're coming off a shutout win against Western Michigan, and now it gets pretty tough this weekend when they will travel to Bloomington for a matchup against number 19 Indiana. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the voice of the Fighting Illini. He is Brian Barnhart. Brian, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Great to be on with you again.
Yeah, first off, I just understood you're actually not going to be on the call this weekend. Your daughter is getting married, I understand, so congratulations on that. That is a very good reason to miss a game.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, Brett Bielema was kidding me the other day. He goes, your daughter does know what you do for a living, right? It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun in Southern Illinois and being the father of the bride, and we're just looking forward to it, and it'll be great, but it'll be a while. I haven't missed a game football game for Illinois, and I counted it up last night, 280 straight games. So,
wow.
That's a bit of a number. I didn't realize it was that big.
That's a huge number. When your daughter told you the date, did you immediately think, oh, that might be an Illini game day?
Yeah. Well, she tried. She was like, I'm sorry, Dad. She tried to get it on a bye week. She tried to get it on a Sunday, and it just worked out this way, and that's okay. It's her day, and yeah. I'm going to be there.
We miss stuff every once in a while, and that's okay. How much fun, though, are you having with this club right now? They are really good, and they're doing a lot of things well. I think that number 9 national ranking is absolutely well-deserved.
Yeah, I think so, and it feels, you know, we've had a year or two here or there with it. You know, you had the Rose Bowl team in 07 that played USC in the 2008 Rose Bowl. You had the Sugar Bowl team going back with Ron Turner those years. But those years, you know, those teams kind of snuck up on people. They had really great years, and then the next year they fell off a little bit. This seems different. This seems more sustainable. They won 10 games last year. The way Brett Bielema has built this team and the roster through the transfer portal, but also with recruiting a lot of Illinois kids, and a lot of the stars are from Central Illinois, which is interesting when you think of Hank Beatty from Rochester and young man from Atwood and Caden Fagan in Gibson City with Aiden Loffrey, and so a lot of Illinois kids on the roster, and yeah, there's a buzz in the air. There's no doubt. There's a reason you know, even Western Michigan sold out, and they sold out that game before they sold out USC, which tells you that the fans, and no disrespect to Western Michigan, but they were coming to see the Illini because they're pretty fired up.
We know that Brett Bielema is obviously very good in Big Ten country, but can you speak to, talk about all those Illinois kids, how good of a job has he and his staff done of coming in and really starting to control that border?
Well, he one thing that Brett Bielema knows is the Big Ten, and he knows the state of Illinois. He grew up in Prophetstown up in the northwestern part of the state, and he just understands the state, the dynamics of it. He said he, even when he was at Wisconsin, he would try to check out kids from Illinois, particularly in the central part of the state from smaller schools, and look to develop those players and give them a chance. And so when he came to Illinois, the first call he made 5 years ago was to, you know, every head coach in the state, he or his staff, talked to every coach, regardless of the size of the school, 8-man football, whatever it was, and made those connections. And so that has really paid off, because a big chunk of the roster now is from the state, and he's done an amazing job with it. And he's just who you see in public is who he is in private. He's just really personable. He's got a really good people skills. He's great with his players. They love to play for him. And it's just a really good vibe right now in the building.
The one negative thing that's happening right now, it seems likely that defensive back Xavier Scott, who's really good, is likely to miss the game this weekend, dealing with a foot ankle sort of thing. How big of a loss is that, and how do you feel like the team can make up for his potential absence?
Yeah, he's probably of the guys on the depth chart. He's the guy that you really don't want to lose. Now, they are pretty deep at some of those spots. You know, they've got several guys, Caleb Patterson, they've got Torrey Cox. They've got some other corners that they can put in there. But, you know, Xavier had a great year last year with all the interceptions, and that certainly could be a factor in the game, but, you know, especially with Indiana's quarterback and what he can do. But it's a loss, but certainly I think in a year where this team already, if you've watched any of our games, I mean, Brett Bielema is rotating a lot of guys through on defense, really on both sides of the ball, but especially on defense. And so I think their depth is going to pay off in this case if he's not available, because they do have a lot of guys around him, I think, that can help fill that gap.
What's the value in having a lot of contributors where you are rolling guys through like that?
What's the value of it? Oh, well,
yeah.
You know, you get in these hot games. We were down in Duke, and it was about 93, 94 on the field. And right from the beginning, I mean, it wasn't like they played the starters and then started rotating guys. I mean, they were just moving them in and out. And I think Brett Bielema's theory is that, you know, instead of a guy having to play all those snaps throughout the day, you can keep him fresh and just rotate guys through. And that's where that depth, I think, comes into play. Because when I went to watch – well, practice, I'd be like, oh, he's a senior, he's a senior, he's a senior, he's a senior. Wait a minute, he's a backup? Wow. You know, that's he could be starting. And so I think they've got enough guys plus through the transfer portal, you know, the young man from Wisconsin, James Thompson, Kurt Neal, Leon Lowry came from Badger country, and Dora Jaye came from Florida State. And so they've got some guys with experience that are older. It's not like you're taking out a senior and putting in a freshman at depth. You're rotating some other older guys through. So I think it's paid off really well. We've had a couple of games where it's been just over 90 degrees already this year, and we have not had a lot of issues with cramping or delays like that.
Somehow I've talked to you for almost 10 minutes now without even mentioning Luke Altmaier's name, and this guy is completing a ton of his passes, bunch of touchdowns, no interceptions, a veteran guy. It just really feels like he walks out onto the field and he is in control. Can you speak to the impact that he has on this team and just having a guy that is a veteran and can lead the way?
Well, think about this. Barry Lunney is in 4 years now. Barry Lunney's been there. Barry is the longest tenured offensive coordinator in the Big Ten, which tells you something about how often those positions change. But 3 years now with Luke Altmaier, and you can tell how close they've grown, how much in sync they are. And Luke has come a long way. That first year when he started, we weren't quite sure what we had. And there was one game early in the year that year where he threw four picks against Penn State. Right now, in the last year plus, going back to the middle of last year, I can't think of more than on one hand the times where you thought, ooh, he shouldn't have thrown that. I mean, every decision he makes is a solid one. If it's going to be a loss, he minimizes the loss. He'll throw it away when he needs to. He'll tuck it and run when he has to. To show you the confidence he has, when he was singing this summer with Brett Bielema up at Wrigley Field for the seventh inning stretch, while he was singing along with coach and they were alternating lines, he had a selfie stick up and he's recording the whole thing in front of 36,000 people. You know, just that confidence that he exudes, just even doing that, just shows you how far he's come in a couple of years.
Last thing for you, tough matchup against number 19 Indiana this weekend. We don't really know a lot about Indiana, just in the sense of who they've played is not, it's not the greatest strength of schedule. But when you look at this Indiana team this year, and even what they did last year as well, what's the key or two for Illinois that they've got to do to have success against the Hoosiers this weekend?
Well, you know, they're pretty evenly matched. And I think the one key is, and the coaches have talked about this week, Matt, is they've got off to slow starts in both the Duke game and the Western Michigan game. It was 14-13. Down in Durham. And again, Duke's a really good team. I think they're going to have a really solid year. They didn't have a great week last week against Tulane, but I think Tulane's pretty good. But and Western Michigan was driving with a chance to cut it to 10-7 late in the first half before they made that stop. And the offense kind of sputtered a little more against Western Michigan than you would like. And Barry Lunney had talked about that this week and just executing better. And they're having some trouble keeping Altmaier protected. They can't afford to let that happen in this game. They've got to get off to a good start. I mean, you know Indiana's going to, in front of that crowd in Bloomington, I think it's been sold out since this summer, they're going to be fired up and juiced and ready to go. And Indiana's explosive. They're just really dangerous, and they've got an outstanding quarterback. So I think they've got to get off to a good start. And in a game like this, Matt, I think the two teams are pretty even overall. It comes down, you know, going to sound like a coach, but it really does come down to turnovers, I think, field position. You've got Hank Beatty now, who's become a really deep threat on punt returns. Something like that might flip a close game, and especially in a high-scoring game where two teams are going to be, you know, could be scoring at a high pace if it turns out to be as potent offensively as I think it might be.
He is Brian Barnhart, the fantastic play-by-play voice for Fighting Illini football and men's basketball. Brian, thank you for the time. Enjoy your daughter's wedding this weekend. Hopefully the Illini get you a win while you're away, and we'll talk to you again down the line if that's all right.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll have a lot on my mind during the wedding, but we'll try to maybe tape it and watch it afterwards. So we'll see what happened.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Brian Barnhart joining us on the program. Appreciate him spending some time with us. We've got about 10 more minutes here at Hot Shots and Arnold, so we'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we'll look ahead to what the Cardinals are going to be doing this weekend. Final home series for the Cardinals. They match up against the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll preview that when we come back live at Hot Shots and Arnold. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in the program. Again, we are broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Arnold. Timo Baumgartel, we appreciate him hanging out here tonight, and he has really gotten the opportunity to talk with a lot of folks. So if you missed tonight, you still have a few minutes to come on by if you're like pulling into the parking lot, or they're open well past this. But if you're wanting, we've got one more of these soccer showcases. That's going to be coming up next Thursday, so a week from tonight. We are going to be in Fenton next week. So if you weren't able to make it tonight, maybe you were listening in thinking that'd be fun to take the family to. Well, we are going to be in Fenton next week. And then that's going to run, come to an end, our 2025 run of these shows. I believe this is the third year that we've been doing these, so it's been a lot of fun, and we appreciate the folks with Hot Shots, with Together Credit Union, with Michelob Ultra, everybody for taking care of us out here, and of course, Timo for being out here as well. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, ChesterfieldFence.com. Cardinals are getting ready to play their final three home games of the year. Final home series, as they're going to match up against the first place Brewers. You would love for the Cardinals to find a little bit of success here in the final weekend before they go on the road. And these games mean something for the Brewers. Brewers are trying to grab the top spot in the National League, right now sitting 2.5 games in front of the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies have been playing better baseball here recently than the Brewers. Phillies have won 8 of their last 10. Brewers have won 6 of their last 10. So if the Cardinals want to play spoiler a little bit and knock the Brewers out of the top spot in the National League, they'll potentially have the opportunity to do that over the next 3 days. But whatever you say about the Cardinals, it's your final 3 days and your final three opportunities to head to Busch Stadium and take in Cardinal baseball live. So we'd love you to listen to it on the radio, but we'd love to see you out at Busch Stadium as well over the next few days. Sonny Gray, Miles Michaelis, Matthew Liberatore are the scheduled starters Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tomorrow, Jacob Mizorowski is going to pitch for the Brewers. Tomorrow is going to be a 7:15 first pitch, so that means our coverage across the network will begin at 6:20, and really our baseball coverage will begin at 5 o'clock tomorrow when Kevin Wheeler and myself have you for the Redbird Rush Hour. But that is just about it. Want to give a big thanks to Jim Hewer. He was our engineer on site. Kyle Sixta back at the station. We don't get on the air without those folks being incredibly talented in the jobs that they do, and we very much appreciate them. We appreciate everybody who came out. Thanks to Timo Baumgartel. Also, Jen Cease for being with me during the 6 o'clock hour. Dale Schilly, Jacob Sersosimo, Brian Barnhart. We talked to a lot of people today, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.